The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have them recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, this year the church presents to us every Sunday the Gospel of Mark. However, beginning this Sunday, we go to John for 4 Sundays, and we are going to be instructed by Jesus about the Eucharist in 4 installments. How important is the Eucharist? Do you remember the year 2005? John Paul II proclaimed it the year of the Eucharist. And you remember why? By the way, that's the year he died. He died in the year of the Eucharist. And he said, "The reason why I institute this year the Eucharist is that we as a people again recover Eucharistic amazement. That we again become amazed about this awesome gift where God Himself gives Himself to us so that we may have life with Him forever. The depth of this mystery, it's so great that no one ever in this earth Not even the angels in heaven will ever exhaust the wonder, the depth of this mystery. This means that we ought to spend our whole life on earth pondering in amazement and thanksgiving for the gift of the Eucharist. And then in heaven, for all eternity, as we gaze on the faith of the Lord, we will be fulfilled in all our desires, in all our joy. How awesome is the Eucharist! And yet, we begin the teaching today of the Lord is about bread. About bread. And the Lord wants us to know, as St. Thomas Aquinas said, that grace builds upon nature. That the Creator of the whole universe wants us to know that everything material is good and beautiful. And if we understand its purpose, then we will be lifted up to the depth of His love. And particularly bread has a profound significance because it satisfies our hunger. It's something so natural, so human, that babies understand, that we all need to get back in touch with. Perhaps today we have so many varieties of food that bread loses its essential significance. But in poorer countries, that's very clear. To have bread is to have life. But even beyond that, breaking bread together means fellowship. That is why, again, I exhort you to get in touch with the importance and the beauty and the value of having dinner together at home. You know what is happening, the temptation, everybody grabbing its plate and going to their own room, to their own TV station or whatever, and doing their own thing. Well, that is at a great price, at the expense of the family. We need to understand that having dinner is not just something utilitarian. It's not just about feeding the stomach, but the Lord meant it to be a holy time of gathering the family so that we be one. And so we need to start dinner as Jesus did when he did the miracle of the bread. He gave thanks to the Father. And as we gather together as a Christian family around the table, we give thanks to the Lord. We praise God and we acknowledge that all good things come from Him. And then we sit at the table, and it's a holy ritual by which we share from our hearts our dreams, our concerns, what is going on in our lives. And as we do that, the bonds of love, the bonds of family are being reinforced and strengthened so that the current of the world with all its evil and confusion cannot prevail. Because we are a family that is bound together in love. And so it takes discipline. It takes commitment. It means that your family is more important than your own thing. And you're willing to do this sacrifice for love of the family and for the glory of God. And if we understand that, that essential meaning of bread as nourishment to our bodies, as nourishment to our families, then when we come to the Eucharistic banquet, when we come to Holy Mass and we join Jesus in the sacrifice, it makes more sense. And we realize what Jesus is doing. He's gathering now the church, the people of God, because He wants us to be a family that is in love with Him and with one another, so that we can have the power to live the new life of Christians, as we see in the second reading. How else can we live like this, my brothers and sisters? Look at St. Paul speaking to the Ephesians. He says, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. If we understand the sacredness of the bonds of unity that the Lord has established, we will have the strength to forgive, to understand that even though we may have different gifts and even different opinions about different things, the love of God that unites us is so important that we're willing to sacrifice and to bear with one another. Bear implies that it's not easy. It's not just because I feel attraction to everybody. Actually, it becomes a virtue when we have to struggle, when we have to make an effort, when we edify each other in love, when we are careful not to allow divisions and murmuring to break down the unity of the family. And so the Lord used bread, did this great miracle of feeding the people as a preparation for the greatest miracle that is to come, which is the Eucharist. But the Lord had already prepared the way long ago in the Old Testament, so the people would have this divine pedagogy, this divine teaching, to be able to understand step by step what he's doing. And so we have the first reading from the book of Kings, where the prophet Elisha takes 20 loaves of bread and feeds 100 people. But of course, all those miracles of the Old Testament are only preparation. Now Jesus takes only 5 loaves and feeds a multitude of 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And so the miracle of the Lord is like the fulfillment of all the expectations of the Old Testament. And there's so many others. For example, the manna in the desert, the bread of life that came from the Lord so that they could make it to the promised land. But now Jesus gives us the bread of life, who is himself. He is the bread of life come down from heaven. This is John chapter 6. So that we be fed to reach the promised land. And what is the promised land? Heaven. We are sojourners. We are here like in a desert, being fed with the bread of life, so that we have the strength to make it home to heaven. And then we see that at the end of this great miracle, they gather all the fragments. Why? If Jesus does miracles, well, he can do it again tomorrow. Why do we need to save anything? But the Lord is very clear. He's teaching us a lesson. He wants to sanctify the work of men and women, to help us understand that it's not about just sitting here and waiting for the miracle to happen, but rather he made us co-workers in the kingdom of God. So that the dignity of our daily work lifts us up and we are sanctified. Brothers, sisters, fathers and mothers and children, all of us, every little thing we do, those daily routines, those chores that we have to do every day that seem so dull and insignificant, are so pleasing to God when we do them as an offering of love. That means that taking out the garbage, that washing the dishes, doing the lawn, even cleaning the toilets, if it's done out of love for your family and for others, as you offer it to God, it becomes sanctified, all human labor. So do not waste those beautiful, precious moments, those beautiful chores, because they are holy unto God in virtue of the fact that you are Eucharistic, that you are united with Christ himself. Remember the Holy Family in Nazareth. For 30 years, Mary doing the chores in the house and cooking and cleaning the house and going for the water at the well, and Joseph doing his carpentry and so on, and Jesus as well. All those daily chores made them a holy family because of who they are, offering it to the Father. And so we are not holy only because we come to Mass or only when we pray, but rather those special encounters with God radiate throughout the day, throughout the hours, to make everything that we do holy. Everything. The only thing that we cannot offer to God as being holy is sin. But even sin, the Lord wants us to give it to Him so that He can get rid of it, forgive it, and cleanse us so that we can be all holy. So we give to the Lord our good efforts, our sacrifices. We take our sins to the sacrament of reconciliation to be healed, to be forgiven, so that we can be a new creation in Christ. And at the end, we see that the people understood and they wanted to make Jesus what? The king. And Jesus ran away to the mountain alone. Why? Isn't it a good thing to recognize Jesus as king? Yes, it is. The problem is that they did not understand what his kingdom is about. You see, this is only the first lesson. There is more to come. They only understood at this stage that he was king, but they were seeing it according to their own mentality. And that happens to us as well. Sometimes we want Jesus to be king of our lives, to do our bidding, to satisfy the inclinations of the old man, the way we were before. God is going to fix everything. He's going to make me prosperous. He's going to resolve all my problems. So I want him as a king. But the Lord has a different plan. The Lord wants to be a king who guides us as a shepherd to a new pasture, to a new way of thinking, a new way of understanding. His ways are not our ways. So as we go to him, as we come to him now in the Eucharist, he wants us to enter into a deep mode of trust. Totus tuus. Lord, your will be done. Come into my life and guide me and do whatever you want, because I know that what you want is the best for me because you love me. So instead of wanting him to fit into my own purposes, I surrender my purposes to be able to follow him and to be molded by my Lord and Savior in whatever he wants. So let us now prepare our hearts to receive the King, the Lord of life, the bread that came down from heaven.